It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And we have a guest in studio that I knew in my blossoming days of broadcasting. Bill McCormick is with us. You're a Renaissance man. You're a writer. You're a broadcaster. You're an artist. What are you not?
Well, I'm not a brain surgeon. Oh. I've never done that.
Oh.
Actually, no form of surgery. Really.
All right, good. I met you when I was going to Triton College, and I worked at WRRG.
The Rock of River Grove.
Yes. Thursday nights, I did a music show, and then you had your own specialty show afterwards.
I had two. I had The Scene, which I did 10 to midnight.
Right.
Which was all local music, and then from midnight to 2 a.m. I did Naked Radio, which was me being a teenager left unsupervised with lots of girls calling in. So that was...
And probably naked, knowing you.
Oh, yeah.
Not a scent of embarrassment. No, not even a small hint.
When we did the... They just, last year, they did a 40th anniversary of Triton College Radio. And I don't know if you went to it.
I didn't know about it.
I went, and they had me in a room with Scott Dirks and Rich Padgett, who were my two former program directors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this conversation immediately went off the rails because all they wanted to do was gripe about the fact that I did all these borderline illegal things. Over and over and over again. And I had fun. You know, I was 19. You're not giving me any money. I'm getting something out of this.
Right.
And so I did that. And
we've come a long way since Triton College Radio. We're sitting on WGN Radio now.
Damn Skippy we have. And what a road we've taken to get here.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your road, your backstory. You're an author now, and you're going to be at a local Lit Fest, but I don't know which one.
It's the South Chicago Public Library Local Lit Fest. It's literally called the SCPL Local Lit Fest. It's down at 9055 South Houston in Chicago. That's 3,000 East or 3,300 East and 9100 South.
Explain to people who have never experienced one of these Lit Fests, Bill, what exactly goes on there.
Well, you get a variety of different authors, and I'm actually really proud of the group we put together. We've got Dave Shikosis, who's a constitutional lawyer who's argued in front of the Supreme Court. He's a conservative, mm-hmm. Bush-supporting guy. And then we have Little Alice, who's an LGBTQ. She does a drag burlesque thing in front of mermaids for mermaids and unicorns. And we've got everything.
Those audiences might go into the wrong hall one day. What would that be like?
It might be enlightening.
It might be enlightening.
But we've got a really nice plethora of stuff. We've got stuff for kids down there. We've got authors who do children's books.
Yeah.
We've got authors who do children's comics. I do adult oriented stuff. I have an adult comic out now called Legends Parallel that has been in the top 10 of the national polls for indie comics since 2017.
Congratulations.
1917. I've been here for a while.
It's a long time.
You look good for your age.
Yeah, no, 2017. And right now I've got 5 titles in the top 12.
Oh, wow.
So we're pretty thrilled.
That's
about
excellent.
That. Yeah. And
so it is one of those situations where there's something for everybody.
Yeah,
if you go there, you'll find something you enjoy.
Yeah, basically, we've got South Chicago Public Library has the largest. People don't realize when you go south of Madison Avenue, there's still civilization.
Mm-hmm.
But they have the largest hall room, you know, not a banquet hall, but a hall.
A conference hall, yeah.
Of any of the libraries outside of Harold Washington. And so we can put a few hundred people down there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to have 20 authors from all over, ranging from people who've worked with Johnny Cash and they're telling their stories about what their life was like on the road, to that guy Steve Silver. He just performed at Riot Fest doing spoken word.
Mm-hmm.
We got Jibba Molay Anderson, who's a Liberian artist who lives here in Chicago. He's a teacher at the University of Illinois, I believe, and professor. And he's going to be down there discussing the history of graphics as a form of communication.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have seminars from the different authors. Carlos Jimenez Flores, who's the president of the Puerto Rican Day Committee here in Chicago. He's also an accomplished poet. Actually, I knew him as a poet before I knew him as a Puerto Rican activist, because I just love his stuff. But
boy, you're running the gamut of...
Well, that's the idea of a Lit Fest. I mean, sometimes you do like science fiction only or fantasy only or this only, that only. But when you do a Lit Fest, the whole idea is to get people... You walk in the door, look for something you're looking for your kids or for yourself or whatever, and then you have all these other options that you may never have considered. And I've had people walk up to me at Lit Fest who were like, "Well, I'm here for historical. Ooh, that looks interesting." You start that conversation.
Yeah.
And like I said, we've got 20 published authors down there in multiple genres, and I've named a few. I don't want to go through the whole list, and we'll be here all day.
Is there a website where people can go to find out the times and dates and all this stuff? It's this Saturday, correct? November 2nd.
It's this Saturday. Actually, you can find it up at what is it, the Chicago Public Library website.
I'll find it for you.
But, yeah, they have it up there. You just look up by branch, and they have it. It's the South Chicago Public Library branch. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
But it's, 9055 South Houston in Chicago.
Are these presentations done at the same time or spread out?
They're going to be hourly. So the presentations are, we have a, what's called a small conference room that holds about 30 people.
Yeah.
So the presentation will be in there so it doesn't interrupt the flow of the actual Lit Fest.
Oh, good.
And then, the Lit Fest itself, like I said, you know, we can pack people in there. We'll have snacks. Come on by. We'll have,
yeah.
Oh, that'll
snacks.
Do it.
All right. Yeah. Talked us into it.
But here's the cool thing about this. I've done Lit Fest in Kankakee, Batavia, all around Northern Illinois, and mm-hmm. I've done cons all over the Midwest. I've been a featured artist or a featured author at many of them. But in Chicago, because of the labyrinth of rules, you could not do something like this in a Chicago public library.
Because why?
There were rules against floppies, which is what our comic books are called.
Floppies?
They don't accept them into the curriculum. They don't accept them into the library system.
They're not legit.
It's partly that, and partly they don't have a long shelf life. Oh. A lot of times. I mean, there's logic behind their rules, but not logic, because other libraries, like, for example, I just recently was down at Crest Hill Library for the White Oaks Literary Festival, and I was signing comics for all the, they had librarians showing up and, you know, offering me to get into their library. I ended up being included in like four library systems down there with just the comics. And other library systems can make it work, but in Chicago, there's a lot, you know, it's a bigger system, so it's hard to move stuff off the dime. But these rules have been in place since the 80s when comics were printed on paper. They were printed on newsprint. Now, like my comics, I work with a company out of Texas called Nerdonatics. Everything's printed on high gloss paper with high resolution covers. It's
a work of art. It's beautiful.
I mean, they are beautiful. Hybrid Zero. I can't phrase this right on the radio. Anyway, one lady, I was going to quote her, and then I realized you'd lose
dangerous.
Your license.
Oh,
yeah.
See why people worried about him at Triton College Radio?
Now I get it.
Hybrid Zero is this big magazine-sized comic. It's huge. And this lady just held it, and she's just like, oh, God. You know, she had a visceral reaction.
Yeah.
That's a good. I can get away with visceral, can't I?
Yeah, you can say that.
Yeah.
Okay. But she loved it, and the Hybrid Zero universe has got Juggernaut, Jungle Girl, and Cassandra and the Changeling Sword just came out. So we've got three completely separate things going on in one big giant universe.
And this is happening Saturday, November 2nd. Doors open at 9, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. South Chicago Public Library. They do have a Facebook page, so look it up, SCPL Local Lit Fest. Bill McCormick with us. Your story is interesting, how you got from WRRG to where you are today. And James Brown was involved. You started telling Bill and I about this.
Yeah, I'll bullet point some of this stuff. After I left Triton College, I worked for a while for Z95, doing the local music show there, and a couple of fill-in dates. And while I was doing that, I was working with a lot of musicians, and I knew I was never going to be a famous musician. I just wasn't that good. I enjoyed it, but I wasn't that good. And I did not see myself living my life playing bars when I was 70.
Yeah.
So I started going over to the business side because I had some acumen for that. And I was good at booking shows, handling things, what have you. Ended up becoming James Brown's business road manager and worked for him. Yeah.
How does that happen?
I was working for a lawyer who needed somebody to handle something, and one thing fell into another. And Judge L. Bradley, who was James Brown's personal manager for his whole life, Judge Bradley liked me, plucked me, and said, here, do this.
And what was it like?
Enlightening.
Sure.
Mr. Brown, this is true. Mr. Brown had a rule. It was $100,000 for him to show up and play. If you wanted the band, that was extra.
Oh, wow.
And that was his life. He would, you know, people would, I got flown to L.A. and taken to parties just by people who wanted me to see if I could get that price down.
Yeah.
And for me, I knew the answer was no.
Right.
So for me, it was like, cool, free plane ride, some free booze, and some eats. I'm in.
You know? Yeah.
He would not work for less.
No.
If you said, we got our budget's $90,000.
That's Bill Left money.
Yeah, that's my money.
Sure
it is. Sure it is.
No, he absolutely wouldn't. And usually he got paid in cash. So
I've heard about that.
Right?
Yeah.
Before he walked on stage, he had to be paid.
He wanted his money in cash.
He'd take a cashier's check for the down payment.
Yeah.
But when he showed up at the show, that money had to be in cash. And I mean, I couldn't tell you the number of times I was walking around with $50,000, $100,000 in the duffel bag, just wandering through casinos. And,
all right, then there was a website, Jay the Joke, that you had something to do with.
Jay the Joke was started by Pat Dahl,
legendary Pat Dahl,
and Mike Lynch, the writer Mike Lynch. I don't know if you know him. Very talented cat. And they started it, and then they were starting to get jobs in the real world in the sports industry, and you know there's a conflict writing horrible things about sports when you're trying to work for them.
Right.
And I was writing a bunch of stuff there, and Pat and I worked out a deal, and I took over the site. And when I first took it over, it kind of was like on the downstroke, and Jay Mariotti was kind of becoming irrelevant.
A lot of people did not like Jay Mariotti. You loved him or
polarizing
hated him.
Figure.
Yeah.
He's an idiot.
Oh. But all right. Jury's out.
But I wanted to do something with the site, so I started focusing on different things. Worked out a background deal with MLB to get access to a lot of stuff for them. So we kind of became the go-to place for Major League Baseball rumors, and we were right often enough, as so often ahead of the curve, that as funny as the site was and as scandalous as it was and as salacious as it was, if you wanted that information, and I know many sports writers now, I'm not going to be naming names.
Yeah, no, don't. I need to keep my job, Bill.
Yeah, we'll keep your job, but I'm still friends with many sports writers from that era
who
they went to our site first thing in the morning.
To get the news.
To get what was going on.
Who was being traded. Who
was being traded. Who was using drugs. We had some underground stuff.
Oh, wow.
And we would get proved. It would come up again, you know, 3, 4 weeks, 6 weeks later, but bang, we were on top of it. And finally, you know. So we had, it was really cutting edge.
Did MLB want that stopped? Did they want to put an end to that?
No, not at all.
They were okay with it?
They were okay with it because, first of all, it was information that was going to be public anyway.
Right.
We all knew that. And I never printed anything without verification. I always had verification.
Yeah.
And I actually had 4 scouts that worked with me to verify different things and information, especially on players coming up or on Barry Bonds' steroid usage or any of that kind of stuff. We had people on the ground level to verify it, everything we did. And a couple of times I did get contacted by MLB attorneys, I turned over the names of the people I'd talked to and said, here you go.
Yeah.
Because it was private knowledge, from, you know, attorney to attorney kind of stuff. So
I remember reading stuff on there wondering if it was true, and it pretty much all was true. We have to take a quick break. He's Bill McCormick. You can find him on his website, Bill McSci-Fi, right?
Yeah, BillMcSci-Fi.com.
And it's the South Chicago Public Library Local Lit Fest. It's happening this Saturday, November 2nd, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. We're back in a minute. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, and we are here on 720 WGN. Bill McCormick is with us right now, sci-fi writer, artist. What else are you, Bill?
Actually, I'm not an artist.
You're not?
No, I couldn't draw a stick figure without having it look epileptic. No, I work with some amazingly talented artists from all over the world.
Okay, that's what it is.
I just write stories that they turn into these things that other people go, ooh. So that's,
and how many things have you published? Because it's astounding to me how successful you are.
How many things? I mean, I'm in numerous international anthologies. I've got, I don't know, 15 or 20 short stories out there. I've got 7 comic book titles in various series stages of being serialized. I've got a trilogy out now called The Brittle Riders, which got bootlegged in Russia, so that's funny. And now I've got a new book coming out next year called Goptri of the Mists, which is the answer to the musical question, what would happen if The Brittle Riders was set in India? If anyone ever asked that, they probably didn't, but I wrote it anyway.
Bill, this is a question that I ask all of our guests. Is there a warrant out for your arrest in Russia?
Yes, there is. When The Brittle Riders got bootlegged in Russia, they sold about 35,000 copies, and I'm never going to see a dime of that. And
bootlegs.
In the process of trying to get the bootleg stopped, we ended up in conversations with a couple of the Russian officials, and basically it came out like this. Because the book is pro-LGBTQ, because the book allows African-Americans or people of color to have prominent positions in it, and because the book makes religion seem like a sensible alternative or something positive in your life, I violated many of their standards and cultural standards, so that if I went to Russia, I would be immediately arrested. So we're clear here. I would be arrested for allowing them to bootleg my book right. into Russia, which they never paid me for.
Well, are you going to Russia anytime soon?
Nah. I've been to Russia. I was there in the 80s on a couple of blues tours, but I don't see myself going back.
What happens if a citizen of Russia is caught with one of these magazines? Do they do anything to them? It's a bootleg copy, but the same ideals are within the confines of the book. So what do they do?
I have no idea. Well, they bootlegged it digitally. They sold them for, we were selling them in America for $1.99 a crack originally, just to get people to take a look at
yeah.
it. And they were selling them for $3.99 a crack.
Oh, so wow.
We raised our price after that. But
and we're the capitalist society, yeah. not them.
So, they sold 35,000 of them at that price. And that much we know because we had trackers. And I've actually got screenshots of like 5,000, 10,000, you know, as the units were spinning out
yeah, right.
on their website. And they're all happy about it. Look at what we're selling. And I'm like, hey, it's my book.
So you're big in Russia like Hasselhoff is in what, in Germany?
Yeah. Germany. I should start doing kung fu movies in Germany. You're right. I do have fans in Russia. They've reached out to me.
Isn't that cool?
That's cool. I think the coolest thing of all my writing is that I have a fan club in India.
Hmm.
And it's just like the strangest thing. I wrote an article about the history of UFO hoaxes,
mm-hmm.
and it got used in an Indian space program teaching seminar about how to think rationally and how to think logically
oh, wow.
when presented with, you know, alternative facts,
yeah.
or as we used to call them when I was a kid, lies. I'm old. I remember when people called them lies.
Yeah.
But anyway, it got printed and it got used out there, and we didn't know about it. So there was like a couple of years where I was getting these emails and different things from India, and I'm like, why? You know, what's going on here? And then finally, I was on a NASA website, ran across an Indian scientist who worked for the Indian Space Program.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I know you. My son loves your work. And
oh.
I'm like, huh?
Wow.
So we figured that out. So.
You are the most interesting dude. I mean, you've got nothing on who's the Dos Equis guy.
The most interesting man in the world?
I think you can take that title away from him, Bill.
Well, yeah, but then I'd have to drink beer. I've lost a lot of weight.
Yes.
I was up like 470 pounds, and I'm down under in the mid-2s right
wow.
now.
Wow. Congratulations.
So, yeah, it's like clean vodka for me and limited portions and
yeah.
taking care of myself.
How long did it take you to drop that much weight? That's
on and off. I've been
doing
it. I lost a bunch of it from 2013 on, and I put some back on when I met my girlfriend because we did a lot of cuddling and not exercising.
Oh.
And,
all right.
But now we're both exercising. Cuddle pounds, you know?
I know, I get it.
But
so cuddling puts on weight, you're saying?
Yeah, because you're just laying in bed. And
yeah,
you're not very
active.
You're ordering out pizzas, you know? You're not eating healthy.
Right.
But you're not taking care of... Well, never mind.
Yeah.
You're not eating healthy.
Wow, that's excellent.
You are the most interesting man, in my opinion, in the world. He's Bill McCormick, and he is an author, and you can find him at BillMcSciFi.com. And please, if you've got nothing to do this Saturday, stop by the South Chicago Public Library Local Lit Fest. Bill will be out there. It's Saturday, November 2nd, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And I didn't find a website, I have to be honest with you, but there is a Facebook page, so just Google it. And you might want to follow Bill on Facebook and his website, because you really are pretty funny, and we've come a long way since, I think we both had our head shaved on one side
yeah.
when we were at Triton College.
Yeah.
I was a poser,
though. Was that a requirement? Did you have to have your head shaved?
No. I was a poser. I liked all the 80s punk stuff, but I wasn't really that. You were in a band. I was not.
I was in a punk band. I toured. I was very much in and of the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, and everyone else was listening to The Clash. I was listening to The Residents because I was even anti-punk. I was too punk for punk.
Wow.
Well, thank you for coming up. I haven't seen you in a very long time.
Well, let's not let 30 years pass again.
We will not do that. He's Bill McCormick. Go see him. BillMcSciFi.com.